Hello, episode number 15, dated April 12th, 2021, for the Blame and Punish podcast. My name is Bruce Carlson. Thank you for joining us. I have to admit that when I started this Blame and Punish crusade, I knew I felt extremely strongly about what I was going to say, but no one had been saying anything about it previously, and therefore, everything that was going to come out of my mouth was, in essence, new. In order to be new, I had to have a lot of things ready to be able to write about and speak about in order to get more people to align themselves with our thoughts of saving our world. I researched for nearly 2 years and then spent a year and a half putting things down in an organized manner on paper and going back over my research and bringing everything to a focal point. Our Blame and Punish book is that focal point, and it is where the base of everything has to come from because that was where everything is all together to start from. So, after 3.5 years, one would think that whatever someone was going to do, it would be somewhat ready. I sure thought so, and I was brave enough to start. I'm not trying to get you to think I was brave. Back then, I was trying to convince myself that I was brave enough to start. I thought from one spectrum to another, I had covered most subjects that would come up in one percentile or another, so that I could launch from there. Something recently that I had not counted on started to happen more often that was catching my eye, though, and I have to address it separately here. I don't know if it was because of COVID time or just that I had not paid attention to it as much because I had lumped it all together before, but I am starting to notice that more parents hate their children that they brought into this world. Specifically, there were a couple of mass children killings by their moms this past week in the United States, and they had made national headlines. I actually also saw a couple more, and now that I did that, I am believing that this is a somewhat regular occurrence, at least possibly. Like I had just said, maybe because it is COVID time and parents have begun flipping out because they are locked into such close quarters with their children for so long. And now, the children aren't little like they were when they were first born, and they can actually form thoughts and opinions, and they can make things difficult for their parents. When I was writing our book, I had picked a couple of cases to point out parents killing their children. I questioned how the parents could have been raised by their parents to be prone to kill their own creations. I certainly blamed their parents for raising them and having such a skewed look at life. Maybe the most skewed, because they would take the lives of children who they should love the most, the ones they created. How do you look at your children dying in your hands? Whatever the answer is, the question is rhetorical. Anyway, back to my point at hand. The parents who raised these killer parents, even if they think they raised their children right to be a parent right, they should have noticed something being out of whack while their child was living, and wondering if they should be protecting their grandchildren before they were murdered. I'm not even going to have the argument right now about how they are supposed to be able to tell if their child is crazy. I'm not calling anyone crazy. I'm just using that word to label this argument. We are way past that. If you are thinking about believing in Blame and Punish, then you are already at the point where we accept the fact that two people, a man and a woman, having created a human being that had just killed their own children, much less. And the sick thing is, they didn't have to have children. No one made them have children. But if they did kill, everyone gets punished together. Okay, that was the easy thing to think about. That followed along the lines of thought for everything that we have been discussing about Blame and Punish, and that we have been trying to go through and get ready to bring to the world to save our world. somebody killed somebody, and the killer and the parents of that killer go to reassociation together. However, as I started to see that pattern this past week, as I looked at more parents killing their own children, I had to understand this. Yes, absolutely, we are going to blame the parents of the killer parent. However, I think under the circumstances of trying to raise children right, the parent who was not the murderer of their own children should also and still get blamed and labeled as the second murderer along with their murdering spouse. The reason being is because we are trying to change the future. We can't do it by pulling all guns or threatening to send people to prison or threatening to kill them or any other attempt to fix somebody after the fact. The after the fact is when a child becomes old enough to think and act on their own. By that point, they have already been molded and set free. Will we fix some people like that? Of course we will. But fixing is not building. We need to build right. We need to change the human race. If we stand any chance to continue in life, and it doesn't affect you or me because we will be dead by then of natural causes. If we stand any chance to continue in life in the future through the people we love and who are still living on Earth after we leave, we need to change the human race. We need to have people love life and give of themselves to live in harmony with other people. That is not the way we have been doing this for 300,000 years. We have been attempting to get ahead. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's look at how. By being better, stronger, trickier, more treacherous. And the descriptions go on to describe how we have all tried to get ahead further than any other person. And I'm not saying not to try and get ahead in the future, but I'm not going to go into that right now. I'm just saying we had tried to get ahead. Some did it this way, some did it that. But I want to go back and speak about the spouse of a murdering parent of their child or children for a moment. We haven't discussed this person in detail. In order to change our society so that children are raised right by parents, we have constantly said that we are going to be holding both parents of the murderer responsible when a child goes wrong. I had previously said that it was too damn bad if someone found out their spouse was useless later in life and they weren't doing a good job of helping raise their children. As a matter of fact, our continuing detailed example of reassociation has been the example of a man who gets ripped from his new family to serve punishment with his first wife and their child who committed a crime. I have constantly said, maybe people should really know who they are marrying, and if you are going to marry someone who has gone through divorce, you better be really, really sure you are going to be carrying the baggage of the first marriage, because if something goes wrong with that first child of their marriage, you are going to have this new spouse, the divorced spouse, ripped away from your life because your spouse, who came from someone else, is going to have to pay for any of the consequences of crime of that first child. Any way you look at this, we have always said both parents of a bad child are going to pay. So raise your child right. Okay, moving on. But here is a problem. What if the child doesn't live long enough to do something wrong? If they can't make it long enough to do something wrong because they have been murdered by their own parents, then there is a pretty good chance that anybody giving a description of how that child was raised will probably say that it must have been raised wrong if it couldn't even live long enough to turn into an adult because its parents murdered it. That type of killing your child sounds wrong to me. And if the child was raised wrong, then we go back to the beginning. Parents must raise their children right. If they didn't want to have a child, they should not have had one. As I try to keep on track, I am not going to discuss that right now either. A way to not have a child. We have had other writings and episodes of our podcast discussing that. We can revisit those thoughts again some other time, but let's start with the fact that those people had a child, and I am now using the term they instead of a singular parent, and they killed their child. I don't care how crazy the one parent is, and once again, I'm only using the word crazy in a conversational sense to move this along. If the other parent wasn't watching the crazy one, then it is on them if their children were not protected. I gave an example in our book about one set of parents where both the mom and the dad were crazy, using the word crazy conversationally. They did not kill their children, though. Now, the non-crazy parent might say, "It's not my fault that my spouse is crazy. As a matter of fact, that's why I left them." But you see, hopefully, you will agree that that statement doesn't protect the child. If the one spouse who is saying the other one is crazy, but the one doing the finger pointing doesn't take responsibility for the children, then who's to say that the one pointing the finger is not the crazy one? I really don't care which one is crazy, conversationally. I'm just saying that if you are going to bring a child into this life, you should raise it right. That has been what we have said this whole time. If it doesn't live because it was murdered, it obviously wasn't raised right. Adding this somewhat new wrinkle about both parents into the mix, where both parents are responsible for murdering when one spouse kills their child or children, what does that do to our reassociation model? All we are trying to do, remember, is change the way our society can grow and prosper in the future. We have to change the being, the essence, life itself of human beings. That being said, if both parents have murdered their children, well, one of them and the other one is just saying it's not their fault, that does not mean we place them together in reassociation. If they are each murderers, then it is the two parents of each of those killer parents who must go into reassociation for their children murdering their grandchildren. The reassociation residents now are the mother of the murdered children and the mother's parents, those three people, and the father of the murdered children is also there with his two parents because they are the parents of this second murderer in the situation. We now have six people in reassociation for murdering their own children. Don't ask me, where the hell is all this going? Aren't we punishing too many people? We are going to go back to day one of our 30-year calendar and point out very loudly and clearly that blame and punish, by the time we succeed in doing what we need to do to save the world, is not about blaming and punishing. It's not about blaming and punishing. Blame and punish is about raising children right. When we begin changing the way things are going to happen in the future, there is a chance, the only chance that children will be brought into this world right so that we may have a world left. We have to make sure that parents understand that their life is never going to be allowed to be free from punishment if they did not raise their children right. So I am not saying do not have children. I have never said that. Never. What I am saying is, if you want to have children, you are going to have to raise them right. We have to add into our mix that if you make a bad child, your way out of the hell you have created for yourself is not through murdering that bad child that you created. I had to put this stopper in this week and explain the new thoughts, possibilities, the new double parents murder situation so we can learn how to go forward as correctly and as quickly as possible. A lot of parents are murdering children. I am sure there will be questions about this and very strong comments. That's what we have a forum for. I will see you there, and I will see you here next week. Thank you for your time.